Breakfast Beat on 91.3 FM. Your voice in the morning.
We continue our discussion this morning doing an analysis on the president's speech last night that placed South Africa on a 21-day lockdown effective from midnight on Thursday, the 26th of March 2020. I'm joined by Angelo Fick. He's the ASRI Director of Research. Angelo, thank you for holding on for us. And just before the break, you know, you basically shared some valuable information with us. The other big question before the break I asked was, where will all the money come from to address the major shortfalls of our economy that that the economy will be facing soon?
So as the President outlined, there is the Solidarity Fund that has been established, and government has put in seed funding of 150 million. The question now is, in the private sector, larger businesses, what will they contribute? And what will wealthier, ordinary South Africans contribute? Because that Solidarity Fund is going to be the means through which the most vulnerable and poor will be able to be given the sustainable extended social grant benefit in order to keep people who are in precarious work situations that will not be able to gain or generate any funds for the next month or so. Government has also encouraged those corporations that can afford to pay their workers for the 21 days off. And we know, given the income inequality in South Africa, that some businesses can. Large supermarket chains, large banks with post billions of dollars, not even rands, of profit every year, should be able to do this. The supermarket chain was able to pay one of its executives 660 million rand a few years ago for 1 year's work, should be able to afford to do this. And this, I think, is going to reveal whether or not businesses are willing to sustain the society or the social order on which they depend for their corporate profits in future. And this, I think, again, is about our responsibility towards one another as citizens, whether we think of ourselves as individual citizens or as corporate citizens. That Solidarity Fund will have to be well managed. There has to be no corruption. And I think the President's statement that they will be very, very strict on and act very swiftly against anybody thought of as being corrupt or trying to use the funds for their own individual gain, that is going to be, I think, very, very crucial and a test for those who have been appointed to manage it.
He also touched on, when they will be touching into the unemployment fund, that's the UIF. I wanted you to share comment around that. And also, and I quote, he says, secondly, we are going to support people whose livelihoods will be affected. He's talking about the temporary employee relief scheme. How will that be working?
So that we're waiting to see what the proclamation today says, because that's one kind of statement that will require a whole series of policy announcements that will have to be gazetted today in order to facilitate that.
Right.
So taking the reserves of the Unemployment Insurance Fund in order to sustain people who are in these precarious positions will have to be dealt with through the Department of Labor, the Department of Trade and Industry, as well as the South African Revenue Services. The way in which businesses will be allowed to suspend their contributions to UIF, both on behalf of employees and through employees themselves, will also have to be dealt with crucially, because this is a massive accounting process to avoid people simply evading responsibility in order to profit from this moment. We need to think of this in the way that people used to think in the Second World War and the First World War, that there cannot be war profiteering. There cannot be people who, as the President pointed out, suddenly hike their prices on essential goods because they know people have to buy them. At the end of this crisis, should we be able to conceive of such an end, there will have to be an accounting, and those people who participated in these really life-threatening and society-threatening activities of profiteering or non-compliance will have to stand trial, because we cannot have a situation in which some people come out of this much richer on the bodies of those that they've sacrificed in order to be and to take those irresponsible decisions.
I'm enjoying this discussion with you, Angelo. Please indulge me just for a few more minutes. I just saw on a step on television that they're saying that more than a million South Africans could contract COVID-19 within a period of 40 days. And I think what is very concerning at this point in time is that many people are, confused about the jobs and whether or not the jobs are safe, and that the president is taking the jobs away from them for 21 days. I think they need to understand that it's about limiting contact so that the virus don't spread. I mean, at the end of the day, the president is I suppose, 100% correct when he says that the success of our response to the coronavirus pandemic depends on the efforts of every citizen, isn't it? Shouldn't that be the message that gets driven home?
Precisely, and also that this is, you know, not just our individual lives at stake, but our very way of living. The idea that there will be a million ill people in the space of, let's say, 20 days or 30 days, or however long it's going to take, who will then end up going to hospitals. Hospitals that are already overwhelmed by current demand. That we have a population of people who are struggling with tuberculosis, who are immune compromised because of HIV and AIDS. These are because of diabetes, because of upper respiratory tract infection issues. We cannot, unless we are truly callous, simply suggest that we must have business as usual and sacrifice what are probably going to be hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, we have had a situation in this country where this has happened. The KwaZulu-Natal HIV-AIDS statistics, which in the early 2000s, when we did not roll out antiretroviral drugs to large groups of people because of a policy decision in this country, resulted in thousands of people dying. So what happened was that you had young people who became the heads of their households, the oldest person in their family, at very young ages of 8, 9, 10, and 12. I taught in KwaZulu-Natal in 2009 and 2010, and the university students that sat in front of me in those classes, many of them were the oldest person in their family. So if we're looking to minimize trauma, and we've seen what the trauma does to people, if large numbers of people die in our society, this isn't simply a matter of shrugging it off. We will become a society that is so disrupted by the trauma that life, as we think of it as normal, even in the abnormality of the society, will pale in comparison to the horror that we will be facing. This is not some kind of hoax. This is not some kind of moral panic. We do need to stop moving. We do need to stay home. We do need to start making sacrifices, those of us who can, and reach out through our institutions and organizations to those who are going to feel the pinch much harder than the rest of us. This is, I think, a crisis time, and our test as human beings is right here in front of us.
Yeah. Now, just before I let you go, I promise, Angela, just before I let you go, I've received a couple of messages where people are sort of, you know, dropping jewels as well about the Rupert's and the Oppenheimer's and whether or not, you know, monies from them should be accepted. You know, is that something that we need to worry about at this point in time?
At this point, we need all the money that we can possibly access. This is not a matter in which we can have nosebleeds, moral nosebleeds, about where the money comes from. Obviously, there cannot be strings attached to the people, by the people who give the money. But the fact that we have 2 billion rand extra shouldn't be, you know, snarked at or poo-pooed. We should be getting more money from people like the Ruperts and the Oppenheimers because they've made their wealth off the inequality of the society. But that is a debate and a discussion for another day.
Yes.
We have the 2 billion. Let us use it.
And that's where we're going to have to leave it. Thank you very much for your time. Angela Fick, ASRI Director of Research. Thank you so much for your time this morning on Breakfast 91.3 FM.